Welcome to the second sermon in our sermon series entitled, The One Another's. God never intended us to do life alone. Our relationship with God requires being part of community with one another. Today's sermon title, Disciple One Another. Open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 through 11, and let's begin.
Thank you so much for this time to be together. Father, we thank you for your forgiveness. It's the foundation of our relationship with you and our love for one another. And Father, I pray that we could reconnect to it this morning in a powerful way. And Lord, help us to become a church that is just fully committed to making disciples, as Lord, you have asked us to do that. Bless us in it, empower, help us. And we ask all this in the good name of Jesus. Amen. Well, church, it's so good to be with you. It's good to be with my favorite service here. Yeah, that's right. I may say that to everybody, but, you know, I mean it in the moment again. But I want to thank you guys so much. I want to thank our volunteers and thank our leaders. Last week, we launched 3 services, and it went really great. And there were 100 more people last week than the previous Sunday of the previous year. I don't know if I said that right, but that was a good thing. So God is at work, and I thank you for being a church that is passionate about reaching people. Thank you for being a church that is just committed and dedicated to continuing to create space and opportunity for more and more people to know Christ. And so I expect God to continue to grow our church in this next year like he's been doing. So by this time next year, we should have 3 rocking full services. And then homeboy's not doing 4. So we're gonna get to that land, church, because that's where I hit my limit. You don't wanna hear my 4th sermon in a row. It's not pretty. But I'm excited. God is at work, and I'm just grateful to be part of this church, and I'm excited for where we're going. So last week, we started a new sermon series called The One Another's, and we're learning to one another better, and we're talking about this whole idea of God calls us into relationship with each other, and that as we learn to love each other in different and more powerful ways, God begins to work in us and to transform us, and we begin to fulfill his purpose for us and his purpose in the world. So last week we talked about the great one another. Jesus kicks it off and he says, love one another as I have loved you. And that is always the most important one another, that you and I become people who have a greater capacity and ability to love. And we always got to grow in that. We've always got to challenge ourselves on that. And today we're gonna talk about disciple one another. And this is I would say the second most important one. And this is the idea that for you to become everything God wants you to be, and for me to become everything God wants me to be, it takes your influence on my life and my influence on your life. That in other words, we win this race that we're in only together. We can't get there alone. You with me on this, church? I remember this lesson being sort of seared into my mind when I was in 8th grade. We were playing football. We were on my middle school football team, and we had a good team. We had some really good athletes, and we were playing a team that was just beating us just by a little bit. And so it was late in the game, and we were trying to rally. You know, we were trying to build some momentum. We were trying to make something happen because we knew we could get these guys. We just needed to push a little bit harder. So one of the players who was the best player on the team, he probably was one of the best players to ever go through the high school that I went to. He kind of got everyone together, and he said, all right, guys, we can do this. Let's push harder. Let's win this game. Let's beat these losers. And when he said that, I said, well, I'm doing my job. That's what I said. I don't know what. I just got a little frustrated in that moment, you know. And I said, I'm doing my job. You know, and the implication was, these other bums aren't doing their job. And so he kind of, I could see that fired him up a little bit. And so then he said, listen, we can do this, but we got to do this together. And I don't want to hear any of this. I'm doing my job. And I said, I think he's subtly talking to me because I just said that. And he said, no, it doesn't matter if you're doing your job and then we lose at the end of the day. I was like, well, you got a point there. And he kind of just had this moment where he refocused me to say, if you do your job and we still lose, we still lose. And so if you're doing great at your job, then you need to help someone who isn't. And the chances are you're probably not doing as great as you think you are anyway. And it was a great lesson for me in that moment. And I heard it and I said, man, this guy is right. And that's pretty good leadership for an eighth grader, don't you think? To just call that out. And that idea is true in our walk with God. At the end of the day, if you walk with God faithfully and you know God and you grow in God, and that's all that it is, we haven't won. Because what God wants to do is he wants you to grow and he wants you to know him, but he also wants to use your life to help bring other people to know him and grow in him. You with me on this? The goal is not to get to the end of the finish line and say to God, God, I did my job. The goal is to bring a crowd of people to the finish line and say, God, we helped each other get there. You with me on this, church? And this is what discipling one another is all about. It's that mindset that we need each other and we need to invest in each other and build one another up for this life that God has called us to. And this is very clear in the scriptures. We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and starting at verse 9. It's page 988 in the Bibles around you. You can look on. But here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, for God has not destined us for wrath. I love that verse. He's not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. And he goes on. Because of that, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So Paul said, because God is at work in our lives in this very powerful way, because God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, because God is doing this for us, now we have to help each other go down this journey by encouraging one another and building one another up. And so here's the big idea today that I want you to just really open your heart and your mind to, because I believe in this idea so much. And if we get this right as a church, there's no limit to what God can do through us if we get this right. And so what does all this mean? Well, let me just put it in a simple way. It means that if you are a follower of Jesus, if I am a follower of Jesus, then God has given us this privilege and this responsibility to invest in other followers of Jesus and to make other followers of Jesus. In other words, to put it very simply, I like to say disciples make disciples. That's at the very core of what it means to follow Christ and what he's asked us to do. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus and you're still exploring your faith and you're kind of off the hook on this, but this is good to know because this is at the heart of what he has given us the responsibility to do. But at the end of the day, the goal for each of us is that we become people that help other people grow in their faith as well. You with me on this, church? I want to talk about three aspects of this today. First, God's examples. It all starts with God. It starts with what God is doing in us and what God has done for us. And then we're going to talk about our responsibility in all this and the method to do it. So God's example, our responsibility, and the method. Now let's talk about the first part. God's example. It starts with him. The Apostle Paul says he has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. This is the foundation for all of us. That we have a God who hasn't destined us to destruction, but he destines us to redemption, to new life, to transformation, to forgiveness, to becoming something different. God's work in your life, the end goal is not to destroy you, but it's to build you up in a way you could never be built up on your own. God's destination for you is to be rescued from all the things that can ultimately destroy your eternal soul and destroy your experience of life here. That's the main thrust of his work. Now, what makes this so powerful, and this can be the hard part of it to really accept and to open our hearts to, is that we should be destined for wrath. We should be. That would be totally just and deserving. And if God were to do that, no one could fault him. Because what we tend to do is we compare ourselves to the people around us and we think, you know, I got some issues, but holy cow, you should meet my brother-in-law. That dude's, whoo, yeah. I mean, I'm bad, but, you know, ooh, man, where do I get started? And that's what we tend to do. We tend to compare our righteousness, if you will, to other people. And granted, I believe that we tend to grade ourselves on a pretty generous scale. You with me on that? That, you know, what we think we struggle with, we're like, yeah, this is bad, but whoo, these other people. I'm doing my job. It's these other bums out there that are really messed up. But here's the New Testament perspective. The New Testament perspective says we're all incredibly broken. Much more than we want to admit, than we know. That though we can play the comparison game with other people and we might come out okay on that, but when we compare ourselves to the holiness and the righteousness of God, God who judges the heart and the motives, and he knows why you really did what you did, and there's no secrets before him. When we compare ourselves to that, none of us pass that test well. You with me on this, church? None of us, and that's why we always say, you can't earn your way to God. None of us can. The best people that we've ever met can't. We're still that short of his standard. But here's what God does for us. The Apostle Paul says, even though you should be destined for wrath, you're not. You're destined for salvation because Christ died for you and Christ died for me. And so what this means is, although it would be right and it would be just for me to be destroyed by God, what Paul is saying is that instead, Christ is destroyed by God in my place. And this is the very central message of Christianity. Christ, he got destroyed in the way I should have been destroyed so that now I can be built up to be everything God wants me to be. And so God's method for changing us is changing us through this incredible act of grace and this incredible act of self-sacrifice that isn't deserved so we can be what he wants us to be. Pretty powerful stuff, isn't it, church? And that's how we begin to live life with Christ. So then the Apostle Paul says he's done this and he's changed our destiny. We didn't change it ourselves, but he's rerouted everything in our lives so that at the end of the day, we know God is leading us to salvation, to a good place, and we can trust his plan and all the confusing parts of it. And Paul says, so now whether we are awake or asleep, we live with him. And so now he says, we live with him, connected at all times as his disciples. This is where it all begins. Before I can live this one another out, I have to be committed to Christ as a disciple. What does that mean? It means, number one, that I look to Christ as my hope for salvation. God is not destined me to wrath, but to obtain salvation. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me. That's my hope. When I stand before God and God says, why should I not cast you away? There's only one right answer, Jesus. That's it. That's all I'm going with. You can try and do it on your own, but I don't recommend it. I'm going with the name of Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life for all of us. Secondly, he's also our teacher now. Because he's changed the trajectory of my life, now I want to continue to open my life to learn from him so he can continually lead me where I need to go. So I want to learn how to treat people from him. That's why we're in this series. Right? Last week, Jesus said, love one another, not as you think you should love them, but as I have loved you. Right? I want to learn love from Christ. I don't want to define it on my own terms because it's going to be really selfish and backwards and messed up. And Christ is now our teacher. Christ is also our leader. I don't know if you struggle with this, but this has been a constant struggle in my life. I always want to impose my plans on God. That's one of my constant struggles. God, I got this good plan. Now bless it. Make it happen. I laid it out for you. Why can't you get behind it? And there's probably many reasons you can't get behind it. But that's always kind of my nature. And so one of the biggest things that I'm trying to commit to this year is to stop doing that. And just to say, I want to, God, you lead me. I'll follow. Whatever you want to do. You've shown me again and again and again that my plan stinks. So I want to follow yours. And we open ourselves to the leadership of Christ. And then lastly, Christ is our source. Means he's who I always go back to for strength, for peace, when life is really hard and I don't know what to do. I want to go back to him and receive his peace. When I need endurance to keep going when it's tough, I want to go back to him and say, Christ, help me. And that's what being a disciple is. It's my hope is in Christ. I'm learning life from Christ. I'm trusting in Christ to help me in every step of the way in the journey. And I'm trusting that at the end of the day, he's going to lead my life to a far better place than I could ever get. And he's going to provide an eternity for me that I could ever, never earn on my own. You with me on this, church? And so Paul says, this is where we begin. We begin with how God has discipled us, but then Paul says, but we also now have a responsibility to each other in this big work that God is doing. And so what does Paul say? He says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So Paul says, God is doing this. God is at work. He's not destined you for wrath, but to obtain salvation. He's going to lead your life. But now Paul says, but part of the way he's going to lead your life is through the relationships that you build with his people. You with me on this, church? That now, part of the way that Christ is going to lead me to my destiny and he's going to lead you to your destiny is through our influence on each other. We win and lose this together. You can't get to where God wants you to be without some of the relationships that God wants you to have. And I can't get there without some of the relationships that God wants for me. You tracking with me? Can I get a really phenomenal Southern amen? I need it right now. That's what I'm talking about. And by the way, feel free to throw those out at any time. You know, that you feel like we're getting somewhere. Our responsibility. So we are, remember the New Testament says, we are the body of Christ to one another. Christ isn't going to meet you at Starbucks tomorrow morning. He loves Starbucks, but he's not going to meet you there. But we can meet each other there and pray for each other and talk with each other and encourage each other and show compassion to other. And that is the same as Christ being there because you and I are his body. And so through each other, Christ continues to disciple all of us, but it's through each other. And we have that responsibility. So now let's talk about a little bit how to do this. So here is the method for this. Paul says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And notice this. He doesn't say we tear each other down to God's purposes. Notice that's not the biblical model. We tear each other apart to God's destiny for us. No, how do we do it? We build one another up to it. And that's why we don't hit people in the face with the Bible. Because that's not what the Bible says to do. That's why we don't morally referee other people's lives, because that's not building one another up. You with me on this, church? Have you ever seen someone shamed into healthy life change? It doesn't work, does it? Have you ever seen someone complain so much that they drastically improve the situation around them for everyone else? Because those are tearing down activities. And they don't bring the transformation that building up does. I've seen people stalled out from those activities. I've seen people make things worse by that strategy. And the scriptures say we build one another up towards God's purpose. So let me give you some practical ways to do this. How do we build one another up? Well, the first one is we have to create life-giving dynamics in our relationships. We are disciples of salvation, not wrath. We got to believe the best about the future that God has for each of us. We have to believe the best about each other. We have to speak words that give life and that give hope, that drown out the voice of shame and make louder the voice of grace, because those are life-giving practices. I read interesting research this week that it said that a good ratio in the healthiest of relationships is to have 10 positive interactions for every one negative interaction. So to kind of have 10 building up moments for one moment that turns into a tearing down moment, if you will. And I thought, that's a really great ratio to shoot for. And what would it look like if we committed to that as a church? Say, we're going to try and hit that ratio. What would that look like in your marriage if you shot for that ratio? And ladies, I don't want to share men's secrets here, but I will. Men aren't that complicated. Kid. If you, as soon as your husband walks through the door and you're like, when did Mega Man show up? And you start talking to him like that, and you're like, man, babe, have you, you know, you been working out or something? You're looking, it's like, yeah, I had Diet Mountain Dew today. So you can say that. I'm pretty good. And then you know, kind of build these positive interactions. Then ask him to do whatever you want him to do. He'll be like, no problem. You want that? Hey, you want this move too while I'm here? Because I got it. We're good to go. We're not that complicated. Yeah, I'm telling you, you will get better results that way. More positive interaction creates more life-giving relationships. And what a better way to live, right, church? And let's give that to each other. Let's talk about the second one. Catching each other doing right. It's so easy to notice and recognize and acknowledge when people do things wrong. But I want to get better at catching people doing right. I want to be more focused on acknowledging the wins in my relationships. I want to be better at acknowledging the ways people help me and the ways people bless me and just calling that out specifically and thanking them for it. Why? What does that do? That builds people up. When someone comes up to you and genuinely appreciates what you've done for them, they leave wanting to do more for others because you've built them up. And let's catch each other doing right. Here's the third thing, sharing with each other what God is doing in our lives. It builds each other up. Now, this is also a way to make our relationships deeper. When we begin to open our hearts and become a little bit vulnerable and talk about what God is doing in each of our lives, it builds us up. I love being a pastor because I get to hear so many people's stories. It's one of my favorite things. And I love to hear how God has moved in your life. And I love hearing those stories. And I love to share them as much as I can, and you'll let me. But every time I hear that, it builds up my faith. Hearing God work in you makes me long for God to work in me in greater ways, right? And when we share what God is doing in each of our lives, we give each other a gift of having a greater hunger and trust and ambition for God to do something in our own life. It builds up our faith. And it also takes our relationship from maybe a more superficial place to a deeper place. Sure, there are some relationships where we can talk about the weather all day, and Lord knows there's always stuff around here to talk about in that regard. But when you take them a little bit deeper, then they become relationships where we are building one another up, and they become something much better for us and for them. With me on this, church? All right, here's the next one. Praying with and for others. And let's be a church that is committed to praying for each other. And let me be very specific about this. I want to be the type of church that when you tell me something serious is going on in your life, I want to take a moment right then and there to pray for you. I don't like this whole deal, I'll be praying for you, and then I go to Taco Bell, and I'm just praying for my gut the rest of the day, and I forgot. I don't like that practice. I want to be the kind of place where we do this, and we pray for one another. We're talking to people after service, and you're going through stuff, and someone else says, well, let me just pray for you right now. And you're like, well, I don't pray good. And I don't know why I had an accent on that, but just felt right. But here's the deal. Don't worry about how the prayer sounds. God cares about an honest heart. He's your Father. He's not doing a grammar, you know, grade on your prayer or an eloquence grade on your prayer. Say, man, God, my friend is hurting. Help him. Amen. That one will work. It'll fly. Doesn't have to be more than that. Let's pray for one another. And here, a challenge for the guys. Pray out loud for your wife. If you're married, let them hear you pray for them. That's a huge gift you can give them. Again, don't worry about getting all your work. Just pray out loud for them. Let them hear that, because there's something that builds us up when someone we love prays for us. It's powerful. Dads, pray over your kids. Give them that gift. Lay your hand on their shoulder. Son, daughter, let me pray for you. God, would you bless them? Would you grow them up to be a man or woman after your own heart? Would you help them at school? Whatever. Amen. Give them that blessing. You with me on this, church? Pray for what this is one of the most simple ways we can build each other up, but also one of the most powerful. When you hear people that love you praying for you, it strengthens you. And when you pray for the people that love you, that you love, it strengthens them. All right, let's talk about the next one. Invite someone into your life group, your ministry, your service to God, and into your life. Sometimes God changes people's life through one simple invitation. Sometimes that's all it takes. That's all the opening that he needs to grab hold of someone's heart. Maybe for many of us, some of us, that's our story. We hadn't been connected to God for years. We hadn't been connected to church. Someone invited us. They weren't weird about it. They didn't corner us on it. They just, you know, authentically invited us. And that was the beginning of God doing something powerful in our lives. Through a simple invitation, our lives have been built up. I remember years, long time ago, when my parents just moved to a new city, our neighbors, they invited us to Christ Church. And that invitation created a ripple effect of change in my family's life. One invitation. Family hadn't been to church in a long, long time. And that neighbor did it, and it changed the dynamic in our family. We can give that gift to other people, right? If you're in a life group, invite someone into that life group with you. Say, hey, let's do this thing together. Come, give this a chance. If you serve God here on a regular basis, invite someone into your ministry together. God sometimes gives us these incredible gifts of friendship when we learn and we serve God together. The richest friendships in my life are with people that I serve God together with, that I'm growing in God together with, and it's been some of the greatest blessings in my life through that. And we can give that to each other, and we can give it to those in need. You with me on this, church? And then here's the last one, learn together. Commit to just being in relationships where you can grow in Christ with one another and become more of who he wants you to be. The job to disciple everyone in this church is not my job. It's our job. We are in this together. If we're going to win this race, it's together. If I'm going to become everything God wants me to be, I need you. If you're going to become everything God wants you to be, you need each other. And we do this together. And church, can we be a church that builds one another up to this incredible future that God has for us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that, Lord, you have not destined us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you so much that you have changed the trajectory of our eternity. And Lord, although you could destroy us, you choose instead to rebuild us and to renew us. And Father, I pray that we could continue to help build up one another. We could be disciples who make disciples. Lord, we could end our life and there could just be a huge family of God around us that we've made better and they've made us better. And I pray it would all glorify your good and holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.